Doug Christie.
Hall of Famer, too, in my heart.
He's Jason Ross.
What Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
What up? Welcome in to another edition of Jason Ross and Doug Christie right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Thanks again to Frank LaRosa for joining us the last hour of Golf to Go's Golf Hour. Always fun. Getting insight. Learning more about the courses, like the Ridge in Auburn. Beautiful course. Golf balls like Bridgestone. Mm-hmm. The people that play. So fun each and every week for us to have that. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll have it again next week for you. But for us, over the next couple of hours, as we take you till 6 o'clock, and then A's baseball, as the A's will be in action tonight. Today on the show, coming up, we will talk with Larry Williams. You go, Larry Williams?
Yeah.
Who's Larry Williams?
Couple bones, ligaments,
AKA
tendons.
The bone collector.
Yeah, baby.
Street ball legend.
My assistant coach.
Oh, is that right?
Remember,
that's right.
We
said that earlier this week. That's your guy.
Head of player development.
Yeah. head of ankle breaking, something. He will join us 1 hour from now.
Okay.
We also will have an edition of Either Or. We got lots of NBA to get into. In the 5 o'clock hour, Rocco Constantino, author of Beyond Baseball's Color Barrier, will join us as well. We'll have five on it. We'll have the crossover. And by the way, Dave doesn't do this a lot, but his show ended. He saw me. He goes, did you hear the crossover? I said, I did not today. And he said, good. And I said,
okay.
And sitting right here is a note that says, Jason, do not open until after the crossover. So apparently the answer is in here. I don't know. Like sometimes there's an opinion. These are opinion questions. I didn't hear it. I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of intrigued. I did want to open this. I have not. So he asked us a question. I think he said we all need to participate.
I'm surprised that you touched that.
Well, at some point, I'm going to have to figure out what it is or what the question is. But that's coming up a little bit later.
You need a little of this?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, a little hand sanitizer. Because did any white powder fall out of that thing?
Very possible. Come on!
Okay.
Coming up. I'm excited, scared, intrigued, all of the emotions, I guess.
Yes. Well, let's get at it. That's what I say.
So that's coming up a little bit later as well.
Carmichael Dave.
Yeah. Be afraid, Doug. Be very, very afraid. But we do thank everyone that's checking us out today, whether it's on the text line, certainly on YouTube, on KHDK, KHDK YouTube. You can find us there and check in on the show and watch Doug chip.
Absolutely.
Periodically.
Yeah. Yellow Bridgestone balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. We're ready to roll.
And right now, let's see, Wizzo Mac is in and says, hey, Doug and Jason.
What up, Wizzo Mac? What it do?
So there you go. You never know who might check in, but let's do it. Let's start you out as we do each and every show with First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, we started with some news that happened right after the show ended yesterday, but the NBA announced, Doug, their defensive player of the year. Me personally, I think we had this on KHK.com. We all had to make our picks. I picked Ben Simmons. I have zero problem with it being Rudy Gobert, but Rudy Gobert takes home the honor.
Yeah, and I picked Ben Simmons as well. Okay. And part of it because Ben Wallace, I always big guy stealing the little guy's trophy. I always thought that I should have got
whose
it that
trophy
year.
Did he steal?
That would be me.
Oh, okay.
But shout out Ben Wallace, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Listen, Rudy Gobert, and if you watch it, and you like the nuances of the game, if you watch Rudy play, I mean, defensively, he is a juggernaut. I don't know why they don't take advantage of him in some different ways, and his ability to rim protect, his ability to change shots. How about his ability to end the game with a block the other night and save the game? Like
Was that clean, by the way?
I would say so. Okay. When he got him in the air, he should have drew the foul, actually, but that's hindsight's 20/20. Congratulations to Rudy. I think he's one of three players that have won it three times. And was Mark Eaton one of them that just passed, or Mark Eaton won?
Mark Eaton has won it three times, and I think he's the only one that three or four that is not in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. Well, I would say this about Rudy. He is a solid defender, and he makes them special. He really does. That team, because that team defensively, and I say this about the Sacramento Kings, you play differently on the perimeter when you know you got that guy back there that's going to have your back and at least protect the rim, swing at it, make it tough on an offensive player coming downhill. And when that happens, well, good things happen. And that's why the Utah Jazz are a number one seed right now. And it's because of part of it is because of Rudy Gobert and his defense. Congratulations.
He's won it 3 of the last 4 years. So certainly significant achievement, winning it in 2017-18, 2018-19. Then Giannis won it. And then this year, Rudy Gobert wins it again. So his third, that is incredible. He is the anchor of that defense. Truly, like when you think of anchor, that is what he is as a big guy. And he does just enough offensively to really help him fit in that system. And I even heard some argue his value. Could you argue, Doug, that his value for that team is more than Mitchell? I don't know. I don't feel like it is, but because Mitchell is a two-way player. I don't think he's a
great defensive player. Well, I would say his value on the defensive end is.
For sure.
Yes. But overall... No, but I would say that I think people are recognizing his value is more than maybe we thought initially, because there was a time, especially when the COVID thing started, because it all started with Rudy and him touching all the microphones and stuff. And there was a rift between those two. And I think what was maybe missed, and there was kind of like, hey, is Rudy going to go in a different direction? Does Donovan and him not on the same page? Does Donovan want him gone? I think management and coaching staff probably sat them down and said, look, guys, you make each other a lot better, because if he's not out there defensively, they are not third in the league. Indeed, they're top three in offensive and defensive rating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, offensive rating is a lot of it's because Donovan Mitchell. Defensive rating, a lot of it is because Rudy Gobert. So it's equal. Now, I won't say it's equal. I'm put a little more onus because of the way the game is played today on Donovan Mitchell, but I'm going to give Rudy his props, man. I mean, he brings that team along in a huge way, and everybody buys in because they all try to be two-way players.
Yeah, very important for what they do, why they have a 1-0 series lead. And again, congrats to Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year award, his third. We'll have more on that coming up at the bottom of the hour too, just the kind of the value of defensive players now in the NBA. But now more First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, DC, let's get to the playoff games tonight. Goes without saying it's absolutely critical tonight for Milwaukee. They've been embarrassed. They lost the first two. The Nets have been so much better than them in the two games. It goes to Milwaukee. It's not just as simple as, hey, we're home. Everything's okay. It's not okay. They've been punked. They've been embarrassed in the two games. But they can't panic. What do you expect from the Bucks tonight against the Nets?
I think that the Bucks, first of all, are going to shoot the ball better.
Okay.
Let's say that.
Is that enough?
This is the interesting part, and you tell me your take. This is about the refs.
What?
Yeah. The reason being is I think that Milwaukee has to play a more physical style of basketball.
Okay. So how far will that
go? How far are the refs going to let them go with that physical style of basketball? If they come out and they set a tone and the refs allow them to get Kyrie off his spot, be physical with Kyrie, do the same with Kevin Durant, if they allow that, if they allow P.J. Tucker to do that, if they allow Giannis to do that, then I think the Bucks could win this game. Hmm. If they do not, and they still allow freedom of movement and all those things,
and
I think that they are cooked, glazed, sliced, and ready to serve.
Yeah.
But that's
interesting.
Not that we know anything about refs here in Sacramento.
Too soon? Way too soon.
Okay, my bad. That's better known as a Donahue. Anywho. Cut it out, man.
Just engaging with the audience.
That's my take here. I don't know if that's like a bailout, but that's kind of my vibe. Is today, out of all the days, like, I think the onus is on the referee. Yeah. I think that Brooklyn is who we've seen them be. That's who they are. But their ability to do that in the open court and getting out means that you got to slow them down.
Yeah, you've let them be who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, Giannis running people over on the spin, bumping them out of the way. Are you going to get the offensive foul there? When they go to the rim, are you going to knock somebody? Like, all of those things, for me, that goes on the refs. That's what I'm going to be watching when I get to the house.
Yeah.
Depending, it might be over by the time we get there.
No, you'll have some time. I'll
have some time? Okay.
But you're right. I guess thinking back on the two games, for lack of a better term, I would say that Brooklyn's been able to dictate the terms of the fight.
Yes.
It's been at their pace.
Yep.
Their shots, they've made more shots. They've shot better. But I don't know. I think we've even seen them move it and you, ooh, that's a tough shot. Well, it's open, though. And like, Yeah. They're doing it on their terms.
Yes, totally. And I'll give you the opposite end. I think Utah's not allowing the Clippers to do that. And I think Phoenix
for sure
is definitely not. Like, they are way more physical. And I thought that Milwaukee actually had a physical. Now, they are missing DiVincenzo because he is that type of player. Scrappy, touching you, fouls that aren't called. But those two Western Conference teams are doing exactly what I would think that Milwaukee needs to do to Brooklyn tonight to get themselves a win. Will they come out and set that type of tone and presence? The fan base will set the table for them to do it, and I think that the refs will allow them if they – but you can't do it sporadically, Jason. This is what I've always said about the Kings as well. Like, you got to – come out and set a tone, set a style. This is how we play. The whistle adjusts then. If you're always adjusting to the whistle,
yeah,
that's different.
You're behind the game.
You are behind the game. Set the tone for the game. And without talking about the Kings and Charles Barkley
right.
and all that different things, obviously, that's not what we do here yet.
Yeah.
But that's what Milwaukee must do, in my opinion.
Like they say in football, like if the team, like, hey, this team X holds every play, maybe they do. But do they call 10% of them? Then I held every play. You call 10%, we'll live with that.
Yep.
But if you're calling 50%, we got to stop holding.
Right. I mean, like, if that is what you do, are you going to get fouls called against you? Yes.
Yeah.
You know who did it, I thought, is Philly. In game one, you had you didn't put Ben Simmons on. You put Danny Green on Trey early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they switched that, but it's too
late. And when they switched it, what happened? Two quick fouls on Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Instead of switching it back or backing off, they didn't. They stayed aggressive. And now all of a sudden, Trey's looking and he's avoiding and I'm not getting that call. I'm getting some calls, but yeah. I'm not getting – like, that's a thing for me.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch that. How about the second game tonight? It's the Clippers at the Jazz. Last I saw, I think Mike Conley is officially ruled out again tonight. So they know they won't have him. They didn't
You got to – what do you tell me when you go to – Vegas, you put the first little winnings in your pocket.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's house money right now.
Okay.
We don't need him to play right now.
They don't. Well, they need to win, though. Because, like, obviously, if they don't, the Clippers will say we did what, you know, we stole home court back. We got
okay.
it. But the Jazz, if I'm them, I do, unless he can truly play.
Right.
If there's any question, yeah, you sit him out.
And
if they go up 2-0, I sit him again.
See?
That's truly house money.
Yeah. You put that money in your back pocket.
Yeah. And
not
then
the front
if I can
pocket.
Get 4 or 5 days more of rest and like, all right. And certainly if it's 3-0, then you're like, we're saving him.
Yeah. But there's going to be a point where you start thinking about how do we bring him back.
Right. Right. They're not there yet.
No,
but,
they're not.
Game one was thrilling. It was fun. It was intense. It was exciting. Great energy. Expect more of the same today. And I know yesterday you brought up some really good points about Paul George.
You like my points?
Yeah, I did.
I took pride in that. I did.
Well, you should. Those
I sat down. I actually made notes for us.
Okay. Well, I think hopefully we know he listens. We'll see if he heard.
We'll see.
Yeah.
That one is a...
And Kawhi was good. Remember what we said? Like,
I'm not worried about him.
I'm not either, but he was good. He wasn't the version, and I'm not talking about getting 40 points. He was fantastic in games 5, 6, and 7 against
right.
the Mavs.
Well, see, this is
good.
This is the difference, though. In those games versus the Mavs, he didn't get any help. It was you go or we're going home.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular game in Utah, he went and he delivered. And there were options for other people to go. And you had Zubat who went,
mm-hmm.
and I was like,
he was productive.
He was productive. What's my guy's name out of Duke?
Kennard.
Kennard went. Mm-hmm. He was great. There was an opportunity for Paul George to go, and I know that people are like, well, he's leading the team in fourth quarter points. Yeah, but they're kind of those, they're not really...
Empty calories?
Yeah, kind of like Frosted Flakes. Come on.
Those are good, though.
They are, yeah. but they're... Come on. Whereas
no, they're really good,
they are really
you
good.
You know what? They're
great. Oh, well done. Oh, I don't know how I missed that one. That was solid work. But for him, like, see, Kawhi coming off of those wins, he needed somebody to help him. He was tired. I'm going to say that. I think he'll play better tonight. I think he's going to go for broke. Paul George has to be definitive. He has to be aggressive. And guess what? He has to be willing to live with all the criticism that's going to come his way. That's the first part, because that's the one thing that when I watch Donovan Mitchell, he's like, I'm going, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no mystery there.
And whatever happens, happens.
Do you think Paul would do that by chance if Kawhi's not there? I don't know that he's being, you know, second fiddle, but they need him. And do you think if it was defined, like Pacers, Paul, like that was, he was their best player. I don't think he's their best player. That's okay. It probably is fine that he's not, but do you think he plays to that?
I think it's a, see, I've had these things because even as a player, like I told you, like I always felt I could be even better. And there were moments when I would score 30 and then I'd score 20, but then I'd back off because now I'm guarding Kobe and you guys do your thing. I'm going to use some energy down here. But
you still get your 13 points that mean as much as all of that.
But I probably should have did it and lived instead of trying to get 40 minutes or 35. Maybe I only had a good 28.
But it was great.
But it was damn good. See, he needs to go for broke. Meaning when he catches it, stop. The first thing needs to, like, that's what I'd ask him. When you catch it, what are you thinking? And then he would probably go, well, no.
Decisive.
Money. Right away. Money. The first movement. Violent. Then read. Like, he's reading and, like, it's blah. And that's not what Kawhi needs as his second fiddle, in my opinion. This is all mentality for Paul George, and it's all psychological. He has the game. He has the ability. Look for the penalty. Get in the penalty. How about this? How about maybe he does what I did? Maybe he needs to go lock up on the deep. Maybe that's where you're.
And
you're,
he's very good defensively.
Yeah, maybe your energy. Okay, maybe you're not that on the other end of the court right now. How about you go, because there were about four times, if you watch late in the fourth, someone shoots the ball and he's on the wing, and instead of running in and trying to tip dunk it, he just kind of walks in.
Yeah.
Like, nah, B, like, maybe those are the plays for you right now. It's the energy play. It's the tip dunk. It's the, I got him. Let me stick him.
Well, if he came in today to Ty Lue or yesterday's practice and said, I'm guarding Donovan Mitchell.
And I'd say, damn
and
right you are.
Be like, Kawhi's probably like, I got or whatever. But it's like, hey, if you cut whatever his number, was he at 40, 42?
Yep.
To 27, 24.
Right.
You've helped your team considerably.
And how about maybe instead of shooting 16 shots and going 4 for 16, maybe you shoot 10 and go 5 for 10.
Much more productive, efficient, but we got the plus side on the defensive end.
Yep. Or maybe you give it up and we use our depth.
Yeah.
And you'd raise your – how about raising your hand? How about you play so damn hard you raise your hand to come out?
I got 5 strong minutes here.
Yep.
And then I'll be back in 4.
Yep.
But I need rep.
I'm giving it up.
But then you need the Kennards and the Morris.
No doubt.
And those are the guys to give. Now, you're not asking them for 20.
Yeah.
But, hey, give me that 12 points. Hey, Terrence Mann, you got another 10 in you? And DeMarcus and Zubats. And then Kawhi, maybe you do the heavy lifting, get us 28. But – that's a winning formula.
Listen, if you're not going to use your athleticism and go buy somebody and go do it, then when the shot goes up, use your athleticism to go get it.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to damn use it. Pick him up full court. Turn him a couple times. Like, I need something, bro. For real.
Yeah. All right, that is game 2 of that series coming up tonight.
First things first. First things first.
Well, I got to say, we've had so much fun over the last couple of days in here during the show watching the Women's College World Series. They got an earlier start today, Game 3, and it's over.
Yes.
Oh, Florida State, I feel for you because they were, what, about 5 outs away yesterday? They only had a 1-run lead.
But
you mentioned the air. A run comes in, another run, and then it was, okay, you lose Game 2. That's fine. Live to see another day.
No, but now you run it back because those are the things that you live with.
Yeah, and they're going to be thinking about that. Today they were outplayed, only 2 hits. They lose. Congratulations to Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner.
5-1. Pitching is really what the world's called. Well, all baseball and softball, but College World Series, it's about pitching.
Yeah, congrats. I mean, first of all, like, if you are just, you know, a fan and just sometime, like, if you watch that, you might now be a fan and tune in.
Yeah.
They were getting after it in all the antics, the crowd, everything. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. And I this always happens whenever a collegiate sport or an Olympic sport gains some – some popularity, the immediate thought is, well, what if there was a, you know, when women's soccer was going crazy in the Olympics, what if there was a professional women's soccer league in the United States? And that's something that's happened and there's interest. And, you know, I think it's been talked about like more televised professional women's softball. I just think the consumers of sports in America seems to be what's the biggest thing. So I think if they launched like something that was on TV more, would people watch women's softball on a professional level? I think, but probably the championship, right? True. I mean, are you watching the Tuesday night game with two random cities? Maybe.
Yeah.
But when it gets to, oh, did you hear? And they're trying to win their first title.
I could see it.
I think we bump up to the final levels. Well, like this, I don't watch women's college softball during the year.
Right.
But when you get to here, I'm all in.
Right. Well, also, so if we're going professional, you're taking –
yes.
Two players off of every team that we saw.
The best of the best.
Right. Yeah. So now you got the most heat at the pitcher, the best outfielder, the biggest bat, the best fielding, like all. So that excitement that we saw, yeah, I'm thinking that that could be definitely sellable.
Yeah. And then it becomes, to me, I think where college connects still with people is, you know, when it's two.
Fan base.
Yeah. You're built in right now. You have a Florida State, Oklahoma, right now. I mean, just. I have no interest in
was
either
UCLA
school.
In there?
They were. They Oklahoma were. Took them out. Or was it Florida State took them out? But they won a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're really good, actually.
They are good. They
are.
Yeah, they lost this year.
I give you crap, but okay.
But I think, you know, when it became, if you had a brand new leagues, you know, it takes time for those cities to establish those fan bases over time. But, yeah, the universities have it.
But compare this, not necessarily, but professional soccer in America?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something similar? I mean, because what I would think is you would start in hotbeds.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
And then you would get a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get a Timbers versus the Sounders.
Right.
All of a sudden, now it's like, whoa. And then from there, you would begin to branch out, I would think.
Certain programs, if we take it to women's college basketball, Connecticut's a different story. Baylor, the full crowd. Like, they have
a lot of
people.
That's a good example, actually, how it's branched out.
Yeah, and how it's grown. But, you know, a UCLA basketball, they're a good women's program.
No,
but a UCLA, heck, USC, a rivalry game, it's going to be a smattering of people at the game.
Yeah.
But if that's UCLA-USC in the women's tournament, now that's changed because it's a bracket. It's the highest level of what that sport provides. But this was great theater. Today's game wasn't as dramatic, but still, congratulations to Oklahoma.
I'm all in for it, man. I'm hoping that they do something on the professional ranks that bumps that up. But Oklahoma, I mean, just great. Shout out Florida State because they were putting it down. Unfortunate, but those are the things. Like, now I'll be watching to see, does Florida State come back? How many people are coming back? Do they have that same kind of, like, we're going to come back this year? And I think they were a 10th seed. And Oklahoma was number one. So number one. But can you take that next step?
What's the jump?
So close. What'd you say, five outs?
Yesterday, five outs away.
Ugh.
Man.
Ugh.
They will be. That's what you feel for them. They will be thinking about. You always think about the ones that get away, but they will be thinking about that.
Yeah. Shirts with five on it. All that. Five on it. See what I did there.
I got what you did.
I got something.
First things first.
Best.
All right. Last topic on First Things First. Baseball continues. The A's back at it. They had that sweep over Arizona. We had day baseball yesterday. They're back tonight as a four-game set starts with the Kansas City Royals. Frankie Montas. He's on the mound tonight as a first pitch. Come your way here on KHTK at 6:40. But A's and Royals, just keep it going. A's season high, 11 games over 500. There's a lot of synergy going on right now. I think it was it yesterday that was the 10-year anniversary of when Bob Melvin was hired.
Wow.
He's broken the record for most wins as an A's manager. Got a couple guys prospecting for the All-Star game. It's turning into a nice season for the A's.
It really is. But this is – even when they started out, what did we say? If they find themselves all of a sudden and – this is, I think, what everybody expected. And Bob Melvin, man, how do you give shouts out to keeping a team relevant, trading away pieces, the motivation, the development? I mean, so many different aspects. Always a good farm system. And to be leading the AL West, I mean, just shout out. Well done.
And then just universally, when we talked to Olympic baseball pitcher Edwin Jackson, only played 1 year, he was like, oh, Bo Mel's my guy. I heard an interview with the A's broadcast yesterday with – Luis Gonzalez, who's with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And Melvin had been there. He's like, oh, he's one of my all-time favorite people. It's like, man, this is pretty universal what people think about him.
Well, it's important. I think that's why you see players play, have the respect. Like, those are things. Like, when you're in that locker room, it's a family atmosphere most times. In bad locker rooms, it is not. But Bo Mill obviously respects his players, takes care of his players, and they reciprocate with that type of love. And it's shown out on the field, too. They get at it.
That's fantastic. Well, grill, fire pit, outdoor heaters, Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
It's a Cinch! Jason!
We are back with more. When we come back, we will talk about the role of defense in the NBA and its legacy on those defensive players of the year, including Rudy Gobert, who just won his third. We'll discuss that next on KHDK. Here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Capital Casino, now open again with our outdoor gaming venue at 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento.
Hey, can we get some Outkast? I got an Outkast vibe today when we come back. Some fresh and clean or something. Anything?
Wow.
You got something for me?
DJ CV does.
Should we switch places?
I mean, we can, because you're on your phone a lot, so I just come in there and chill out. But I'd have no idea how to work all the buttons, so that would be a thing.
Yeah, I think we should opt against that.
I was just DJ CV. Can I not put in a request?
Are you taking requests?
Oh, okay. But that doesn't mean it'll happen. Mysteriously.
Make it worth my while.
Okay. Check your Cash App shortly.
Ooh. Yeah. How about that?
Can I use your phone, Jason?
No.
Okay.
It's blocked with Chris. Coming up at the top of the hour, the Bone Collector.
Woo!
Will be joining us.
Watch your ankles.
Streetball legend.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully someday, a Basketball Hall of Famer. Yes, that's possible.
How about that?
That can happen. I mean, remember, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Streetball and one, all that stuff. It's a part of culture. It's a part of basketball, part of the sport. And some legendary moments, I'm sure, for him at Rucker Park and other places.
No doubt. I mean, shout out, what's his name? Escalade. Mm. Do you know Escalade?
I do not.
That would be... what's his name? There was a head coach at Golden State. Why I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
The head coach?
Yeah, before Mark Jackson. That's Mark Jackson's brother. He passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a street ball legend as well, like so many. I mean, you go on and on, New York, L.A., all over the place. But I was just looking at, we had him on, the professor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a little collection. I'm out to he looked like he was doing some stuff in prison. He went on he was over in Asia. Man, the professor, nasty.
Yeah. So he, the Bone Collector, will join us at 4. We're looking forward to that. We mentioned in First Things First, Doug, about Rudy Gobert winning his third Defensive Player of the Year. So he's done it 3 out of the 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly is a propensity, I think, for the voters to look at big guys. I guess I understand that. But here's Rudy Gobert talking about... this was from TNT, what he is trying to do, whatever he can to help this team.
I'll take the win. I think 15 blocks. I don't know if anyone done that before, you know, but 50 points is pretty cool too. So whatever has my team winning, whatever has my team, you know, at the end of the day, everything I do is to try to help my team win. And whether I have to set screens, roll to the basket, play defense, I'm trying to do everything I can to win. And that's the bottom line.
But you look at what this position has been for the people that have won it multiple times. You're talking about, you mentioned Ben Wallace earlier, a 4-time winner. You've got some other guys that have won it multiple times that are Hall of Famers. Dwight Howard will be ultimately a Hall of Famer. If we hear this statement made now about pick a great offense, James Harden, Steph Curry, LeBron, like great offensive players in the game. Yeah, but you know, defensive players can't clutch as much and hold and grab. Okay. If we walk that line,
okay,
then should defensive players that are good now get more love?
Yeah. I mean, because, like, I have a feeling that the same way that the game has changed and gone away from the basket, it should do the same thing there. Like, if you're a really solid defender in today's game, you should get the prop. Matisse Thybulle?
Yep.
My man.
He got a vote.
He is for real.
Yeah.
And I voted for Ben Simmons, and I told you Ben Simmons might not be the best defender on his team.
Right.
Like Matisse Thybulle doesn't – he hasn't learned all the tricks and different things in year two, but Ben Simmons, fantastic defender. Like, yes, I definitely think so. Rudy Gobert is a little bit different. I would give him credit. He understands the nuances of, like – a lot of times when a guard comes off the pick and roll, I want the big guy to be up there. Rudy is not always up there. He's back, but he understands how to contest the shot but recover quick enough so he doesn't get off of his feet so much that he can get beat so much. He'll track a ball down. Just it really, really solid. But I think, yeah, you need to give more props now to some of these really solid defenders on the perimeter. Jrue Holiday comes to mind as a really solid defender, which when you look at a guy like Kyrie that can just go through a guy like Jrue Holiday, like you might want to give Kyrie more props.
True, true. And if you go down the list, here's the people that receive votes this year on the defensive player. You get first, second, or third votes. Matisse Thybulle, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jimmy Butler, Miles Turner, Jrue Holiday, Joel Embiid, Clint Capella, Giannis, Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons, and then your winner, Rudy Gobert. And I bring up Draymond because he also this year said he thinks he's the greatest defender that's, you know, whatever. I believe in his confidence. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, we can debate forever whether he's right or wrong. I think he's one of the smartest defenders I've ever seen. He's really, really smart. And there's smart IQ offensively. I think he's there defensively, and he was a distant third.
Yeah,
no first place votes.
I think also part of that is this is unfortunate, is like they were down in the standings.
Right.
But also he missed a bunch of games. So when you put those together, I thought the end of this season, he was right there for defensive player.
Much like
of the year.
The Warriors team was going that way.
Yes.
At the end.
Like that is the Draymond, like you bringing that. Yeah, no doubt, because he was switching out on guards. He was guarding one. He was guarding one through five,
mm-hmm.
and moving his feet, quick hands, knew where to be, like all the different things that defensively you need out of a guy. He was bringing it to you. So I don't think that that's very representative of who he is, but it was the body of work this year. And that's no disrespect to Draymond, because I think like he plays the whole year. They play at a high level. If he's not the defensive player of the year, he's in the running for it.
So you brought up an interesting point there. I never really thought of it this way, because generally if we're picking MVP, the team probably has to be a playoff team or a top seed, top two, maybe top three. Westbrook, when he did his most unique triple-double year, at least no one had seen it. Now he's done it multiple times. They were further down. But could – why couldn't – let me see. Who had the worst record in the league this year? Detroit? No, Houston. If there was just the best defensive player unequivocally on the Rockets, could that person win it on a terrible – why would it matter? Why would they have to be on a great team if it's just about defense? Now, I know you're not producing into wins, but if that
– because
incredible player was – taking every person that averages 25 to 30 and dropping them by 10 points a game, they're playing great defense.
Yeah, it would take us. It would take the media
to recognize it
because you're obviously they're not winning, so you're not watching a lot people. And this is like for you and me, we would look at it. I love basketball that much where on a Tuesday night, just randomly, I'll tune in and see whoever that is, and I'll watch all the nuances of that, where most basketball fans might not do it. So that person, and that's unfortunate, because a lot of the times, even when we hear people talking about MVP, they're like, well, they're not on a winning team, so how can they be MVP? Or those are empty calories, all these different things. Like, we have to recognize the talent at the same time. So I understand your argument, but a lot of times, yeah, that player is not going to get recognized the same way. Now, Draymond, since they've won championships and all of that, if he had played all year and played the way that we've seen him at the end, he would have got recognized for it. But had they not won the championships and stuff, no, he would not have gotten recognized the same way.
Yeah, I'm looking at this from the list I told you of people that got votes. It's just Miles Turner – oh, and Draymond that didn't make the playoffs. Like, they were in the play-ins.
Mm-hmm.
But those two teams didn't make the playoffs. Those are the only – everyone else is on a playoff team that's
yeah.
on the – that got a vote.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
It's right in your face. You got to win to get recognized. And that's fortunate and unfortunate. I might have – I won't say better. Maybe. Better defender in Toronto. I mean, definitely just as good, right? I mean, I was locking folks up. But I wasn't getting the props that I got once I got here with the Kings. all of a sudden I'm boom, first team all defense.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I was kind of doing that.
But now you're on a team that's
winning in 50, 60 games, and we're on NBC on Sunday. Okay, now we're paying attention. It's a thing.
It is a thing, because I would say this.
Same thing for Bobby.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, he's six man a year now, huh?
I mean, you know this to be true, Doug. If we'll just paint the picture. Let's say the Kings were in, and they got in this year, and it doesn't even matter. They got swept. But they got a round in. When people were talking about, look how good the league is with people like Booker and Trae Young and Ja. De'Aaron would have killed it. Now, let's say they lost every game by 20. He would have been fantastic. And people are like, De'Aaron Fox is nice. Yeah, he is. You just haven't seen him. We see him every night. But you're right. You get that love. You get that attention when you're put on the bigger stage.
I've told him as much. I'm like, I just want to see you in the playoffs. You know why? Because you're built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, everybody ain't built for the – I really enjoy the playoffs. Like, the playoffs, like, it's a little more physical. You can get after it. You can catch people slipping in ways that during – you get a recognition in the playoffs that you don't necessarily get. He is ready for that. And you're right. All of a sudden, it's going to be, look at De'Aaron Fox. I'm like, dude, really? He's been doing this. But until – and you've heard this here before, Jason – until you start smacking some people around, it's Kangs.
Yeah.
That's with an A and a Z.
Yep.
Deal with it.
What do you think about this text coming in on the text line? Defense? There isn't defense in basketball anymore. Just look at the scoreboard now. Players aren't allowed to defend, and with all the flopping going on.
I would agree with that, but then I would also say watch Utah, and I'd say watch Phoenix. Mm-hmm. There is ability to team defend, to pick up, to put team – to put Philly. Put teams and players in bad situations. So to that person's point, they are correct, meaning that you can't play defense the same way that you could. So now you got to evolve. I think that means extend your defense. Now you got to play numbers, put people in positions where they aren't as good on the floor. Like, that is today's defense. Set a tone that's physical. Make the refs foul everybody out. Like, there's a way. But you got to be committed to it and about it every single night.
All right. Well, we'll see where ultimately these playoff games go with the defense going forward. We'll break here. When we come back, we're going to jump into the NFL. What are we all missing about this one team in the NFL? We'll explain what team that is and what that is when we come back here on KHDK. Hey, girl, and wait for my
Hey, Chris, that's DJ CB. You guys are the ones and twos. My oral illustration be like stimulation to the female gender. Yeah, that's my vibe today, man. I came up in on Outkast today, synthesizer. That's the last thing I heard when I got out the car. You're welcome, everybody, by the way.
There you go.
Go listen.
Back here on the show, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, here on Sports 1140 KHDK. The Bone Collector, Larry Williams, the playground street legend, will join us here in just a few moments at the top of the hour. But I wanted to ask you something football-related here, Doug. What are we missing about this one specific team?
Okay.
And the reason I bring up one specific team and haven't mentioned them to you yet is this team—
Are they going to be like Super Bowl or what?
I'm very curious because people are curious about them.
Okay.
Here's their last 5 years. 5-11.
Okay.
7-9.
Okay.
6-10.
Oh, they're going backwards.
5-11.
Oh, man.
9-7. Nothing flashy.
They just came back.
But
Hold on. Okay, I have a team in my head that it is.
Okay. You want to hang on to it or do you want to reveal that team?
Will I know after you play this?
Yes.
Cleveland Browns.
Incorrect.
Damn.
So, a team that Aaron Rodgers put out there is a team he would be willing to go to.
Hold on. Raiders. Oh, he put another one.
West Coast or West-ish.
Ish.
Not coast. West.
It can't be the 49ers.
No.
That was on the.
Is the same team.
Okay.
That Deshaun Watson reportedly is very interested in playing for. This is from
who is this team?
His former teammate Kareem Jackson.
I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man. And all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like, that's where I want to be. He like, man, listen, that's why I want to be in Denver.
Oh,
he wants to go to Denver. Aaron Rodgers has put Denver on his list. Again, 5-11, 7-9, 6-16, 5-11, 9-7. What am I missing? I think there's some things there, but when you're thinking of,
I mean, they've got multiple Super Bowls and different things. Yeah, for them in many ways, excuse me, I think it's championship or bust. Like, that's their mindset. Like, they don't – like I talk about, I don't want to hear playoffs.
Right.
I don't think that that's what happens in Denver's locker room. I think that they're judged – they try to judge themselves on a championship scale. They've fallen drastically and miserably short.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it.
I mean, in this time, so in a five-year window since Peyton basically left – you've had three coaches, Kubiak, Joseph, and Fangio, who's still there.
Okay.
Finished fourth in division, second, third, fourth, third. I mean, a nine-win season is their best. I don't feel like – well, those quarterbacks would help any team, certainly.
And you got Kansas City, so you got to deal with them.
You may not even be – you're likely not the best team in your division. I just feel like that's an interesting – if people kept saying, oh, I want to go play for – that, we'd all go, oh, yeah, who doesn't want to play for?
Yeah, Seahawks, right.
Sure. Well, yeah, they've been successful. Whatever that team is that over the last 5 or 6 years you go, man, they're always really pretty good. Saints have really been good. Consistent, yeah. Packers. I mean, just
– 49ers.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then Denver, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Denver, but I also that's go, what point. Is the draw that Deshaun Watson has said that's where he wants to go?
How about
and
this?
And Aaron Rodgers has listed that team.
It's a football.
100%. Yeah, they're crazy for them.
They are crazy for football. So yeah. When you start adding those things up, like, okay, the fan base mm-hmm. is rabid. It's going to be turned up and turned out. Mile High, you got a home field advantage.
Sure.
And then if I'm correct, and I don't know this, Super Bowl is their thing. Even though, like, you just, what'd you say, 7-9?
Yeah, there's so we'll go in order. 2020, they were 5-11 last year, then 7-9, 6-10, 5-11, and 9-7.
Okay.
So
yeah.
One winning season in the last 5 years.
And that in the winning season previous to that was Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 12-4, 12-4, 13-3, 13-3.
Okay. See, I think that's what they said, man. And it must be because for the players to be talking like to Deshaun Watson, for instance, thank you, Brother Jay, for the players to be talking to Deshaun Watson and him to be like, that's where I want to be. Part of that has to be, Jason, it's like, yo, man, when you come here, this is the mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think the athletes, that's what they want. They want to be challenged. They want to be on that type of thing. And yeah.
I just found that interesting that a couple of high profile QBs have been that interested that public about the intrigue with the Denver Broncos. What are you doing?
National Ballpoint Pen Day.
Is that what it is on this this day Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I just hold it up.
Yep.
Pay the ballpoint its respect, please.
And recognize.
Well, you do remember what it was like writing with a feather and ink, right? So
a quill.
Jay. It's not that funny, Jay. You shouldn't have a mask on, Jay, and I still hear you laughing in there.
So I was just wondering what the big difference was for you.
It writes a lot easier, Chris. I don't have to dip. How about that?
A couple of things on this day, Thursday, 1921. On this date, Babe Ruth becomes the all-time home run champ with 120. He passed Gavvy Cravath. Good old Gavvy.
Cravath?
I guess.
Cravathan.
Underrated.
Very underrated.
Danny Fouts! 70 years old. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's a big birthday.
Hey. Faith Evans, 48.
Okay.
Oh. Sasha Obama.
Hey.
20.
How about that?
How about that?
We'll have more of these factoids for you as the show rolls along. But again, think about that, though. That Denver thing.
Interesting. It is interesting, but that lets you know it's a desirable location.
Yeah.
How about that?
All right. In our next hour, we got either or. We'll talk about the night in the NBA and what we saw last night as well, including the Suns looking great, taking that 2-0 series lead. But when we come back, Larry Williams, known as the Bone Collector, he joins us next on KHDK.